Hey everyone, you're listening to a message from Pastor Matt Erickson entitled Habakkuk. This week he will be focusing on Habakkuk 1 through 3 as we continue in the sermon series, God in the Ruins, the Message of the Minor Prophets. Be sure to check out the study guide for this week's message at eastbrook.org/God in the Ruins.
Let's pray. Lord, we long to enter into the words of what we just sang, particularly maybe in this time when we feel like things may be unsettled, to know, Lord, that you are our good shepherd, to know that you are gracious, that you bring victory into our life, that you bring forth goodness and mercy upon us. And we pray, Lord, as we now spend time in your scripture, that you would keep doing that sort of work in our lives. No matter where we're at in this moment, we pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would take your word, which is always powerful, and you would make it come alive in a transformative way in our lives today. And give me the grace, Lord, that I'm always going to be praying for, that I might truly be able to grow small and decrease, so that you would grow large in our eyes and increase, that you would take our attention, our adoration, and our worship in this time, because we gather in the Word to meet with you, the living God. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, roughly 500 years ago, the Black Death reemerged in the area of Wittenberg, Germany, the home of the renowned reformer Martin Luther. It was less than 200 years after this same plague had killed nearly half the population of Europe, and the Christians throughout the area began to reach out to Martin Luther, this great theologian, for insight and wisdom about what to do in this disastrous situation. And so Luther, as he often did, wrote a letter to many people that could be shared with others. And this letter was titled, very straightforwardly, "Whether One May Flee from a Deadly Plague." Luther reflects in that letter on his responsibility and the responsibility of the Christian to care for oneself and to care for one's neighbor and also to respond to God day by day. And this is what he writes. He says, "Now, if a deadly epidemic strikes, we should stay where we are, make our preparations, and take courage in the fact that we are mutually bound together so that we cannot desert one another or flee from one another. We can be sure that through this, God will test our faith and our love, our faith that we may see and experience how we should act toward God, and our love in that we may recognize how we should act toward our neighbor." Sometimes in times of distress, it's good to have powerful words of wisdom that come from another place and another time, another era that help us figure out what it means to relate to God, to take care of ourselves, and even to relate to our neighbor. And even though we're in a new setting as we gather for worship here at Eastbrook at home, this week we continue our journey through the Minor Prophets in this series that we've been in, God in the Ruins, the Message of the Minor Prophets. And today we come to a book of the Bible that has become, I think, sort of special to us at Eastbrook. It's the prophet Habakkuk. In fact, I can't help but think that maybe in God's providence, he allowed us to have this book be at this place on this weekend in our series, because Habakkuk brings a powerful message for God's people in times of distress. Habakkuk's message comes, like maybe Martin Luther's words, a powerful message about what it means to relate to God, how we understand our own sense of who we are, and then how do we relate to the world around us, even our neighbor. This is what Habakkuk really tells us, and what we're going to focus on today is that even in distressing times, God is still at work. Even in distressing times, God is still at work. And in those times, we need deep prayer and resilient faith so that we can carry forward and walk with God. In distressing times, we need deep faith and resilient faith and deep prayer in order to carry forward and walk with God. So let me remind us about where we are in the midst of the minor prophets. The minor prophets that we're looking at in this week's study are finding themselves in the 7th century BC. There are four prophets in the Hebrew Bible that are clearly from that time, and like Nahum, which was last week, there's two others, Habakkuk, and then the two others being Zephaniah and Jeremiah. And these prophets find themselves at a time when there is great instability, both inside the kingdom of God, sort of God's people in the northern and the southern kingdoms, and then also a time of great distress outside that kingdom in the world around. And it causes interior conflict and difficulty for each individual, and even Habakkuk begins to feel that. The kings during this time, as we've traced before, are kings that start really well. We can think of King Hezekiah. Think of the prophet Isaiah. He's a good and godly king, but after Hezekiah's time, there's a steep decline as Hezekiah's son Manasseh, one of the most wicked kings in the entire history of God's people, leads the people astray. His son Amon succeeds him and is quickly deposed after about a year and a half of being the king. And then it goes to a little blip of goodness in Josiah and then sort of descends into utter chaos until the time that God's people are sort of overcome by the Babylonians. And Habakkuk is arising in the middle of that time near the end of that. He is looking at a time where the Assyrian Empire is suddenly going from full strength and beginning to wane, and the Egyptians begin to come into the land of Jerusalem and Judea, and then the Babylonians overcome both the Assyrians and the Egyptians. It becomes a time of great tumult, a lot of chaos in the world around, and Habakkuk stands forth in that time, probably somewhere between 620 and 590 BC, before the fall of Jerusalem. He comes with a strong message that he's wrestling with his own faith as he sees the chaos around and even as he reflects on what it means to be the people of God. If you were to divide up the book of Habakkuk, you would see that there's sort of three sections. The first section is Habakkuk's first complaint to God in the first four verses of chapter 1. And then the next response to that is God's response to Habakkuk in verses 5 through 11. Second section of the book is Habakkuk's second complaint. And then God's second answer or response coming at the end of chapter 1 and into the end of chapter 2. And then chapter 3 forms its own little unique section. It's a time of prayer. It's a time of praise. It's a little psalm reflecting on what it means to be God's people. So if you have your Bibles, I'd encourage you to turn with me to Habakkuk chapter 1, and I'm going to read the first four verses here right at the very beginning. It says, "The prophecy that Habakkuk the prophet received. How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is, wow, I can't read that, strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted." Now imagine with me for a few moments the situation that Habakkuk finds himself in. The Assyrians have been pressing down upon this kingdom of Judah for a long time. And in the middle of that, now suddenly Assyria has been displaced. Nineveh, the capital in 612 BC, is overrun, and they form a new capital in another city of Haran. And the Egyptians begin to surge forth. And the people in Judah are feeling caught between a rock and a hard place, and even another hard place, as then in 605 BC, the Babylonians fight against the Egyptians and fight against the Assyrians and storm and overtake them completely. Here is this people of God caught in the middle of all this chaos, wondering what it looks like to be the people of God. What is God doing, and what does it look like to live as God's people as one empire after another seems to roll over the land? And in times like this, this external distress that Habakkuk and the people are seeing, it is matched, as you can imagine, by an internal distress as well. Because many times in our lives, when distress rises on the outside, we feel fear, confusion, anxiety beginning to rise on the inside of our lives as well. Some of us may be feeling that even today. We see what's happening outside, and then we begin to feel it on the inside as well. And one of the greatest tendencies for us is, as that tension rises, is to begin to feel a sense of being numb. I can't really keep engaging with the information. I can't keep entering into these things. It's just too much for me. Habakkuk chooses not to do that. He chooses to stay engaged with the world in which he's living, and he stay engaged with the God that he is serving. And we know that because right here at the very beginning, Habakkuk turns into prayer. He shows us that there's another way where faith outdoes fear and where prayer can overcome the sense of isolation. And so I want to encourage us to learn from Habakkuk right here at the beginning about what it looks like to turn to God instead of going numb in the midst of external and internal distress. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage us to be people of prayer in the midst of the time that we find ourselves in right now. So notice this, that Habakkuk's decision to pray doesn't mean that he's not looking at the world. You know, sometimes there's a complaint against Christians. You know, you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good at all. Or if you're going to be a Christian or a follower of Jesus or a worshiper of God, you're going to be so disconnected from reality that you can't even look at the realities of here. But that's really not what true prayer is all about. True prayer enables us to open our eyes to God, not so we can shut our eyes on the world, but so that God can help us to see the world through his eyes. Real prayer helps us open our eyes to God so then God can help us to see the world through his eyes. And the starting point for that is to bring the way that we see the world to God in prayer. And that's what Habakkuk does. Just hear some of those words again in verses 2 and 3. He says this, "How long must I call for help and you don't listen, to say violence but you don't save? To make me look at injustice, why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are all around." I mean, you see Habakkuk, he is wrestling with the world around him. And when we pray, part of what we do is bring those troubles that we experience in the world around us and in our own lives, that we bring them into the presence of God. We can admit that we might not see everything accurately, but we still bring the way we see it right into the presence of God and ask God to meet us in this place. And the name for that kind of prayer in Scripture is lament. Lament means we bring the way we see the world right into the presence of God, good, the bad, and the ugly, and lay it into God's presence. And there's a significant segment or portion of the Bible that is given over to prayers of lament. It's not bad to bring to God what is even called in some of our translations the complaint of Habakkuk. We can see so many different things that grip our world, the troubles that grip our own lives, maybe the present pandemic that we're dealing with, or maybe it's other things like griefs of the loss of a loved one that are gripping us right now. We bring all of those things into the presence of God. Deborah Van Dusen Hunsinger says it this way. She says, "Active, fully engaged mourning and crying out in lament to God is precisely what enables us to keep our hearts open in troubled times." You see, naming those things enables us not to go numb out of fear, but to come open-hearted to God and say, "Lord, this is the world I live in. These are the things I'm dealing with. I want to meet with you, God, in that place." And so when fear rises up inside and when distress rises up on the outside, Habakkuk shows us that the way to continue on with God is to rise up in prayer, a rigorous and strong prayer that even can name the ugly things to God, so that as we see God, he can enable us to begin to see the world through his eyes in a fresh way. That first complaint of Habakkuk is paralleled in many ways by the second complaint that comes a little bit later in chapter 1 and leans into chapter 2. And that last complaint ends with a word. It comes in chapter 2, verse 1, where Habakkuk says this. He says, "I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he," that's God, "will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint." Habakkuk is saying, after all of his complaining, after all of his lamenting, he is going to look at God, he's going to wait on God, and he's going to let God speak into the midst of his life. He's going to come humble and yet courageous to wait for what God is going to say. And standing watch like Habakkuk in prayer requires tremendous amount of faith. Because some of us, when the distress rises or the fear rises inside of us, we begin to disengage with God and say, I don't even want to know what God has to say. Habakkuk steps forward in that place and he says, I am waiting for God. I can't help but think of the echoes of Psalm 130, verses 5 through 6. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits. And in his word, I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. And so Habakkuk shows us that if we're going to move forward in distressing times, that we need to be people who come in prayer to God. A deeper kind of prayer that brings in our view of the world, the things we're wrestling with, and then waits on God in that place, that pulls aside some of the distractions to say, in the midst of all the things that are going on and all the news that's out there, it's important to be informed, but God, I am waiting for you. I am listening to you more than anything else. I want to hear your voice. And so Habakkuk becomes an example for us of our need for deep prayer and resilient faith to carry forward to walk with God even in distressing times. And there's an interesting thing, the parallel between Habakkuk's two complaints and then God's two responses. Because one of the reasons Habakkuk's words are so challenging for us is because what we see about God's response can actually sometimes be a little bit uncomfortable. There's two things we see about God's response in Habakkuk's time that should give us a little pause. And the first one is this, that God does not always act in the same way that we want him to. He doesn't always do what we hope he'll do. You see, the trouble with Habakkuk's time is that, you know, the Assyrian Empire had flexed their muscles and threatened them. And then as they started to crumble, God was saying, I'm going to deliver you from the Assyrians, but the way that I'm going to do it, I'm going to deliver you from the Egyptians, but the way that I'm going to do it is going to be by raising up another empire, the Babylonians, who will come and almost take their place. This is what God says in Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, his first response. He says, look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed. For I'm going to do something in your days that you would not believe even if you were told. Sometimes we use this in a really sort of positive sense, but just catch this. God says, I'm raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwellings not their own. The first reality here is that God is going to solve one of the great problems of his people, but it almost feels like it's happening in a way that they might not have wanted. Here's the second thing that's challenging about Habakkuk. And the second response of God, it almost seems like God is delaying his answer. He names that the Babylonians are a difficult people, but God says there's going to be a specific time when I'm going to intervene with the Babylonians. We read this in Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. It says, the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it, for the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. So chapter 1 of Habakkuk, God's response there says, God may not always act in the way that we expect or hope for, but the second thing here is that God will act, but it might not always be in the time that we hope for. God's ways are not our ways, and God's timing is not always our timing. God's at work, Habakkuk hears, but you need to wait. You need to get perspective. Do you see that phrase in chapter 2, verse 2? Wait for it. God is telling Habakkuk to live the life of deep prayer and resilient faith in the midst of distressing times. He's doing something, but Habakkuk is going to have to hang in there. And part of what faith is all about is releasing our control to God. Releasing our control to God. Anybody felt out of control this week? Release the control to God. I mean, we try to get control in other ways. I mean, like you, I probably went to, you know, Walmart or Walgreens trying to get more hand sanitizer, but it was gone. we feel out of control. You go to the grocery store and things may seem a little bit different. The shelves may feel a little bit more bare. You're looking at the stock market and feeling like things are surging up and down or just down, and we begin to feel out of control. And in that time, we look at anything we can do to remain in control. And the message of Habakkuk is a hard one, but is so true. We are not in control. God is in control. And so Habakkuk, wait for it, watch for it, move forward. The life of prayer and faith looks to God and his power and relinquishes some of our own power into the stillness of the God who rules over all things. And so the end of chapter 2 comes to a very unique point in one of the most memorable verses in Habakkuk. Chapter 2, verse 20 is this, where we hear this: "The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him." The life of prayer, of deep prayer and resilient faith, is a life where we release our control to God, where we open our eyes to look at the God who reigns over the heavens, and we say, "God, help us to see the world and all the distress out there and all the distress in here in light of who you are." Even in distressing times, Habakkuk says, God is at work. And in those times, we need deep prayer and we need resilient faith if we are going to carry forward and walk with God. And one of the reasons I love the book of Habakkuk, and I think why some of us here at Eastbrook love the book of Habakkuk, goes back to one of our dear friends and ministry partners, Francis Amandi of Sheepfold Ministries in Garissa, Kenya. Some of you may remember the time when Francis was with us and he spoke out of Habakkuk chapter 3. And it was part of that time that inspired me later on to do a 5-week series in 2015 just on this book of Habakkuk that I just really hadn't spent time with before. And Francis and his wife Anne, as well as their ministry team in Garissa, they have been through so many challenges. Some of it's been religious persecution. Some of it's been violence that's just hit the area in which they live. Some of it has been drought, and some of it has been flooding. And in the middle of all those things, Francis expressed to us out of Habakkuk chapter 3 one of the most beautiful pictures of what it looks like to live with that kind of deep prayer and resilient faith in the living God. And I want to bring us into this last chapter, this last section, so that we can find deep faith, deep prayer with God amidst the trials and the troubles of our life. There's a couple sort of practices or sort of approaches to life that we see happen here in chapter 3. And you're going to need to go back to this later and soak in this chapter because it is so rich. But let me pull out two approaches that we see in Habakkuk chapter 3. And the first of these is this prayerful patience in trouble. I struggle with patience in my life, but Habakkuk shows us a prayerful patience with God. This is what we read in chapter 3, verse 2. "Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Repeat them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy." We have the picture of Habakkuk waiting at that watchtower at the very beginning of chapter 2, verse 1. And now here in chapter 3, here he is. He is saying, "God, I am looking to you, and I am patiently, prayerfully asking you to do something in the midst of the world in which I live. I'm looking at what you've done in the past, and I'm also looking at the future, and I'm asking, God, that you would do a mighty work." And so Habakkuk brings this sort of patient, prayerful, deliberate request of God that begins this journey of praise here in chapter 3. And in our lives, one of the things that we might want to bring in this time of distress is not only chapter 2, verse 20, that the Lord is in his holy temple, let all the earth keep silence before him, but out of that silence to step forward with God and say, "God, I am asking you to do something. I'm patiently, day after day, asking you to do the new things now that echo the things you did in times past." So remember what God has done. And a lot of the rest of Habakkuk chapter 3 is him recounting the deliverance at the Exodus and other places. But he's saying, "God, do these things now too." Even as it feels like the world is coming down around him and the fears are rising up within God's people, maybe even in Habakkuk, he's saying, "God, I'm looking to you and I'm entering into deep prayer, a patient prayer that you would work again." Here's a second approach we see in Habakkuk chapter 3. It's an approach of rejoicing in emptiness. Verses 16 through 19 say these words. Let me go ahead and read them out loud. I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled, yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. Oh, you want to come back and soak in those verses a little bit later. Habakkuk is trembling. He's seeing what's going to happen actually to the Babylonians eventually. But in the middle of his waiting, he comes to a place of resilient rejoicing in God. How does he get to that place? Do you wonder that? I find myself struggling. Like, how do you rejoice in times of trials? Habakkuk has come to a place of faith and silence, that God is who he is. He's Lord over the heavens. He's Lord even over the circumstances of his life. He's doing something, even though Habakkuk may not understand all of what God's doing. And he begins to linger in the presence of God in a way that is transformative to his circumstances. He meets with God in that place. And as he does that, he begins to find a joy, not in his circumstances, but in the Lord that rises up. A strength not from himself, but from the sovereign God. A victory that rises him up, sort of raises him up, and he says, as a deer treading on the heights, that's where I find myself right now, rejoicing in God despite the emptiness, because all those images of the stalls and the lack of fig buds and all those things, that's all the imagery of total emptiness of the land being overrun. I think of the Apostle Paul, who in Philippians says that he would rejoice in the Lord always. And you know in that letter, he's in prison. Here's Habakkuk showing us that in distressing times, out there and in here, that we can know God is at work, and that if we want to keep going, if we want to walk forward in life, we need to go into a deep place of prayer and have a resilient joy that keeps us going forward. Habakkuk was rooted in this. Francis Omandi showed us what it looked like in his circumstances to begin to point in this way and walk towards this way. Even in distressing times, God is at work. And so in those times, we need deep prayer and resilient faith if we're going to keep going and walk with God. Just a couple days ago, I was reading a letter that was posted online from a pastor. It was a pastor who anonymously posted this. He is a pastor in Wuhan, China, what we kind of think of as one of the sort of epicenters for the challenges of the coronavirus and COVID-19. And he was writing a letter to other believers in his own church and other places in China, encouraging them to live as the people of God, to love their neighbors, and to pray for the peace of the city. He was reflecting on Paul's words in Romans chapter 8 that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And then he wrote these words, if you don't mind me reading them aloud for us. He says, spoken for today, Wuhan's pestilence cannot separate us from the love of Christ. These words are so comforting for us. We have a part in his sufferings, and we have a part in his glory. All of Christ's is ours, and our all is Christ as well. Therefore, Christ is with us as we face the pestilence in this city. The pestilence cannot harm us. If we die in the pestilence, it's an opportunity to witness to Christ and even more to enter into his glory. Thus, my brothers and sisters, he goes on, I encourage you to be strong in Christ's love. If we more deeply experience death in this pestilence, understanding the gospel, we may more deeply experience Christ's love and grow ever nearer to God. Our Lord Jesus, through faith, experienced an incomparable suffering of death, yet God raised him from the dead and sat him at his right hand. As I reflect on those words and I think about the words of Habakkuk, I cannot help but think that there is a way that we can see that God is at work. And so No matter where we find ourselves today, no matter what's on the outside or the distress that rises up on the inside, may we be the kind of people who live with God, knowing he's at work, who in that place, even in distressing times, find ourselves able to step forward with a resilient faith, a deep life of prayer, that we might not only live with God in the safety of our homes, but might be witnesses to Christ wherever he calls us for his glory. May we be Habakkuk kind of people. Amen? Let's pray. Lord God, we know that you are our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. And in these days, we're deeply aware of just how greatly we need your help. We see, like Psalm 91 says, the pestilence that stalks at night and the plague that destroys at midday. And like Habakkuk, we cry out to you, Lord, how long, Lord, must we call for help? Be our refuge in the gathering troubles. Be our strength amidst our feeble bodies. Teach us to dwell in the shelter of your presence and to rest in the shadow of your might. And even if the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vine, grant us, God, our Savior, great joy in you as we tread upon the heights by your power at work within us. All this we pray through Jesus, our Savior, to whom with you, Father, and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory both now and forevermore. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Pastor Matt Erickson. For more information, please visit eastbrook.org.